Good morning. This meeting will come to order. Welcome to the September 19th, 2025 meeting of the Local Agency Formation Commission. The clerk today is Erica Major. I'd like to thank Jamie Echeverry at SFGovTV for staffing this meeting. I am Supervisor Commissioner Chair Jackie Fielder, joined by Commissioner Chan and Commissioner Sevier. Madam Clerk, please call the roll for item number one.
Item number one is roll call. Commissioner Sevier? Present. Commissioner Fielder?
Present.
Fielder present. Commissioner Chan? Chan present. Madam Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, please read communications for item number two.
Item number two is communications. LAFCO is convening hybrid meetings that allow in-person attendance and public comment via telephone. Public comment will be taken on each item on this agenda. Those attending in person will be allowed to speak first, and then we'll move on to our telephone line. If you wish to provide public comment remotely, the call-in number is located on the agenda. When connected, you will hear the meeting discussions, but you will be muted and in listening mode only. When your item of interest comes up and public comment is called, those joining us in person should line up to your right near the curtains, and those on the telephone should dial *3 to be added to the speaker line. If you're on your telephone, please remember to turn down all listening devices. Written comments may also be submitted via email to myself. The email address is erica.major@sfgov.org, or you can send it to City Hall, 1 Dr. Carlton B. Goodlett Place, room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. If you submit written public comment, it will be forwarded to the commissioners and made a part of the official record.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Please call item number three.
Item number three is the approval of the LAFCO minutes from the July 18th, 2025 regular meeting.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I'm in receipt of a request to amend last meeting's minutes from Acting Executive Officer Samurai. I'm going to read the request into the record and then ask us to take public comment, and then I will make a motion to amend. So the following is the request to amend. On page 4 in section 6C, where the last line states, Acting Executive Officer Samurai noted the RFP was in motion with two applicants, with one inapplicant in consideration, we are requested to strike that line and replace it with Acting Executive Officer Samurai noted the RFP was issued twice in 2024, the first time two applicants responded and the second time one applicant responded. LAFCO issued an intent of no award both times. Madam Clerk, let's move to public comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the public who would like to speak on item number three, please press *3 if you're on our remote line. And if you are in person, you just need to line up to your right. Seeing no speakers, let's move to the remote call-in line. There are zero callers in the queue. Madam Chair? Would you like to take a motion on the amendment?
Yes. So I now move to amend the minutes as noted.
And is there a second? Commissioner Chen.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
And on the motion, Commissioner Sevier?
Aye.
Sevier, aye. Commissioner Fielder?
Aye.
Fielder, aye. Commissioner Chan?
Aye.
Chan, aye.
Thank you. Sorry.
No worries.
Thank you. The motion passes. Madam Clerk, please call item number four.
Item number four is the Clean Power SF updates.
Thank you. So we'll now hear from Ms. Cheryl Taylor, who is presenting from Clean Power SF. Ms. Taylor, the floor is yours. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. And good morning, LAFCO commissioners. My name is Cheryl Taylor, and I'm the operations manager for Clean Power SF, which is the city's community choice aggregation program operated by the SFPUC's Power Enterprise. And may I have I do have slides. I'm here today to provide an update on the Clean Power SF program covering the following topics. Briefly, we have our usual update on Clean Power SF customer enrollment and service statistics. I'm also happy to share a few recent happenings in our customer programs. And finally, I'll provide an update on the status of Clean Power SF's 2025 Integrated Resource Plan. So on to service, enrollment and service statistics. We continue to successfully serve our customers. Participation in the program remains strong at over 95%. Our Super Green, which is the premium product, that participation is also stable and higher and growing. Usage has been increasing and now represents more than 16% of Clean Power SF's annual retail sales. This demand growth is mostly due to continued commercial customer enrollment in response to the city's renewable energy ordinance, which requires large commercial buildings to purchase 100% renewable energy. I do want to highlight a few of our customer programs, but first I want to give you just a table of all of our program offerings that are currently existing and under development. These programs provide services or incentives for customers to transition away from using greenhouse gas emitting energy, to reduce or shift their energy consumption during peak use periods, and to balance their electric bill payments over time. So now to the spotlight. In August, we opened up a second round of our Electrify My Ride rebates, which were e-bike rebates, building on the strong response we saw last year. So once again, we offered rebates of up to $1,000 for purchase of electric bikes from local San Francisco retailers. There were 1,000 rebates available for income-eligible Clean Power SF customers, and they were all claimed within a few hours. This rapid uptake confirms the sustained public interest in clean, affordable, alternative transportation options, and it's clear to us the program is meeting a real need, so we're evaluating how to keep that momentum going. We've also begun participating in the California Public Utilities Commission's hourly flex pricing pilot. The pilot allows eligible customers to align their energy costs with the time of day they use electricity. This empowers households to make informed choices like shifting usage to off-peak hours and rewards them with lower bills. We also continue to offer incentives for customers to transition from gas-powered to electric heat pump water heaters through the Water Heater Upgrade Program. Participants will receive monthly bill credits of $50 for a period of 2 years for a total incentive value of $1,200. Income-qualified customers receive the same monthly credit, but for 3 years, for a total of $1,800. These incentives support decarbonization while also easing the financial burden of equipment upgrades, especially for those most impacted by energy costs. Lastly, I do want to talk about the net energy metering program. We are evaluating changes to that, and the net energy metering program is our rooftop solar program. Staff have proposed program modifications that would incentivize rooftop solar owners to use more of the solar they generate. Beginning late last year through June, we held 3 webinars to listen to industry leaders and to share our staff proposal with these same industry leaders, engaged customers, and community stakeholders. In addition, we sought public comment via a survey tool. Clean Power SF staff will present our proposal to the San Francisco Environment Commission at its upcoming meeting on Monday, September 22nd. So moving on to the Integrated Resource Plan update, you may recall the general information we shared with you about the Integrated Resource Plan, or IRP, at your July meeting. Briefly, an IRP is an energy planning process used by utilities and energy service providers like Clean Power SF to support achieving policy goals and meeting regulatory requirements. The IRP is required by state law, and Clean Power SF must prepare and submit it to the California Public Utilities Commission about every 2 years. So a few highlights from our work underway. We've assembled our modeling team of consultants that will be ready to conduct analysis once the CPUC provides the necessary guidelines, and those include inputs and targets. Last month, we hosted an informational community webinar on the IRP, and this event was really well attended by a cross-section of climate and environmental advocates, and engaged customers. Immediately following the webinar, we invited customers, those same customers, as well as hundreds of community-based organizations throughout the city to provide public comment through an online survey. And that survey was open for about 6 weeks, and we received six responses. So just to highlight some of the findings from those responses, the survey takers were most interested in maintaining 100% clean energy over the long term. About half expressed support for clean energy supply that meets demand in real time, even if that means potential rate increases, while others noted that clean energy shouldn't cost more than conventional energy supplies. There was similar support for developing local renewable projects like solar and wind, again, even with potential rate increases. Respondents do acknowledge the affordability trade-offs and would like rates to remain competitive while prioritizing time-coincident renewable electricity that is also developed locally. Some other themes that emerged from the comments were support for rooftop solar, battery storage, and virtual power plants, emphasis on recycling and reuse with respect to renewable energy. There is keen support for continuing all-electric home and business incentives and educational tools supporting the transition from gas-emitting appliances. And finally, respondents were interested in exploring options for nuclear energy with appropriate safeguards. So having completed these initial steps, those include our first community meeting and survey, the rest of the schedule for the 2025 Integrated Resource Plan is still tentative. The due date, the IRP due date to the CPUC, California Public Utilities Commission, remains ambiguous. So pending an upcoming CPUC ruling, we now expect the due date will be sometime after December 1st, 2025, and likely in early 2026, but this specific date is still unclear. Clean Power SF, along with other CCAs, Community Choice Aggregators, and utilities, has requested that the Commission extend the deadline until late February or early March to allow sufficient time once the CPUC's final guidelines and report templates are released. Until the CPUC provides more certainty, the milestones here should be considered tentative. We will adjust this schedule once the CPUC finalizes the filing date and requirements, and we'll keep community stakeholders informed of specific time frame via updates to our website, and I've listed our website here, which is cleanpowersf.org/resource plan. And we'll also communicate directly with those that attended the webinar and or responded to our survey. So that concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much, Ms. Taylor. Colleagues, any questions? Commissioner Chan.
Thank you, Chair Fielder. Just quick questions, actually, specifically about the electric bike reservation or just eligible rebate. And my apologies, maybe that there was a discussion already. What is the eligible requirement?
Thank you for asking that. The income eligible requirement is that recipients be enrolled in the state's CARE program or FERA, and this is through the investor-owned utilities. This is sort of the program for low-income families and individuals who need energy assistance or assistance paying their bills.
And is it a requirement to be San Francisco resident for us?
Or yes. Well, it's a requirement to be a Clean Power SF customer.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then it will be a San Francisco resident or
yes.
business.
Yes.
Understood.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for your work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Commissioner Sevier.
Thanks for just such a great presentation and the updates. I mean, running a big energy franchise like SFPUC is such hard work, and I really appreciate the ongoing information exchange that we get. I wanted to ask a question that probably will turn into a longer discussion, but I work on energy affordability across the country, and as we know, there have been some major policy changes in our social safety net in the United States, and some ongoing or very recent developments in the California legislature that kind of overlap. And I'm curious if we can start to have more just updates about where San Francisco Clean Power SF customers are when it comes to affordability. So certain things that I'm really interested in understanding, because they cross over into major public health issues and other issues that I think our commission can start to think about proactively, are the numbers on Clean Power SF customers who are receiving disconnection notices, who are enrolled in some of those budget billing programs that you mentioned, or the budget billing program that you mentioned, and any kind of information that you might have on customers who are calling in asking for more help with their bills. And there's I want to outline just a couple of reasons why this is on my mind, and I'm kind of mixing a comment and a question for you, so I'm very sorry about that. But as we know, there are some big changes possibly coming for the federal low-income energy assistance program, LIHEAP, that could change the access that Clean Power SF customers have to emergency bill relief, especially in extreme heat waves, which we have been so far lucky not to have this year. But I think that we are also seeing a change in the energy rebates that PG&E's gas company will give to customers. So the gas portion of the bill, I believe that California just passed some legislation that will change how much of the climate credit comes back to customers' bills on the gas side. And I'm uncertain about how that will change the rebate that current Clean Power SF customers get twice a year on the electric side as well. So I'm kind of just looking for more information about how these changes are going to impact affordability and trying to understand better, especially as we think about the very exciting future of a full public power utility in San Francisco, what it means to have a public power utility that's under our control, but maybe declining to provide service to every San Franciscan. I think something on my mind is asking, how are we planning and preparing just administrative changes and frankly just like commitments to service in a different way that guarantees that San Franciscans can always have the electricity that they need to survive and that they're not making major trade-offs with their food bills, with their medicine bills and the cost of food and medicine, because we're starting to see more and more discussions about how those trade-offs between energy and food are very real, and with food prices on the rise, a large number of San Francisco people are on food benefits, on SNAP benefits. I see the lines at the food banks growing around in my neighborhood. So I'm just very concerned about I'm very interested in thinking about how our local control of Clean Power SF and the possible future public utility can really help to shore up a public service commitment to everyone in the city. So I think, sorry for this massive prologue, I think my question to you is, would it be possible to start to get some of those data updates just on the descriptive statistics about affordability, and can we begin to think a little bit more with you about what it looks like to, what LAFCO could be doing to help encourage public dialogue about increasing affordability through various policy changes.
Thank you for the question. I do want to just sort of say yes, underscore everything. We've been having quite robust conversations internally about how to best sort of capture and characterize this information and sort of formulate programs that both kind of don't leave customers, low-income customers behind, but also don't put them in a precarious position, right? Absolutely, you know, we'll be we can sort of take this back and figure out like how to cycle some of those updates into our presentations. So I appreciate the question. Thank you
so much. Yeah, I look forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Chan.
Well, I think maybe if I may add to what Commissioner Severe, sorry, my apologies, recommending, maybe we can through the chair request our executive officer and to work with SFPUC to come back with a affordability report, and that so that it allows our commissioner and allow Chair Fielder to perhaps then author a resolution and send this to the board supervisors as well as SIPUC commissioners about what our recommendation could be about affordability. But maybe it's just, I don't think we're asking for an extensive report, but I think that how do we make sure and ensure Clean Power SF along with sort of the changes of the state policy together to ensure affordability in San Francisco and some of the report. And so maybe through the chair that we could have that report back next time, put it on the agenda or whatever timeline that you think is appropriate in your executive officer report. And then we can author a resolution and from there on out based on the report.
Thank you, Commissioner Chan. I think that's a great idea. And we'll definitely ask Interim Executive Officer Samrai to come up with that. Thank you, Commissioner Sevier, as well. My questions are related to the IRP. For the community outreach, I'm trying to remember if in years past there was in-person community feedback sessions. I don't know.
I am unsure of that. I believe in 2022, which was our last cycle, we may have presented to our Community Advisory Committee, which is part of the SFPUC. We may have presented in person, but it was also, sort of at the tail end of the pandemic. So I imagine that may have been an online meeting. Our most recent webinar was online. It was a virtual meeting. We can check on that and include that in our next report.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just, in the spirit of accessibility and trying to gather an inclusive amount of respondents. And then secondly, with respect to the time coincidence strategy, I'm just trying to understand if it's absolutely necessary for rates to increase in that scenario and why we wouldn't issue a bond, have it in our capital plan, and that's a PUC's capital plan, because presumably we'll also be making revenue on that investment. So I just wanted to understand the thinking behind phrasing the questions that way.
Okay. What I'll do, if I may, is take that question back to the team working on the integrated resource plan, and maybe that could come out in some comments next time we meet as to sort of why the cost might be higher if we go sort of time coincident.
Okay, great. Yeah. I would really appreciate that. Sure. Thank you so much. Those are all my questions.
May I address your first question? I just remembered.
Yeah.
Our webinars, our community engagement for the IRP may have been virtual, but one thing that we have done is we've made both the materials, the survey tool, and even the webinar itself available in three languages, I believe. So it would be in, of course, English, Spanish, I believe Cantonese, and maybe Tagalog as well. So I just wanted to underscore that was an improvement over the last process that we had.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate that. I'm wondering, do we know how many participants utilize those language services?
Very good question. Another thing we can report back on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. Seeing no other questions or comments, thank you so much, Ms. Taylor, for being here and presenting. Madam Clerk, let's open this up for public comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the public who would like to speak on item number 4 should line up to their right. Those joining us online or on the telephone line should press star 3. Seeing no members in the chamber, let's move to the remote call-in line. There are 0 speakers in the queue.
Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. And as we do not need to take action on this matter, Madam Clerk, sorry, colleagues, you have to go back to item 4 to officially vote on approving the minutes. So can we please reopen item 4?
So we are taking no action on item 4 and looping back to item number 3 to close out the approval as amended. So item number 3 is we took the amendment and we're going to take the approval as amended. And on that motion, Commissioner Sevier? Sevier, aye. Commissioner Fielder?
Aye.
Fielder, aye. Commissioner Chan?
Aye.
Chan, aye. And the motion has three ayes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Madam Clerk, please call item five.
Item number five is the Acting Executive Officer Report.
Welcome, Acting Executive Officer Khalid Samurai.
Good morning, Commissioners. Clean Power SF, I have a PowerPoint. Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners. I just have a few brief updates for you today. On the Green Bank and Public Bank work, LAFCO continues to provide support to various city departments working on the next steps from the Reinvestment Working Group's plans for an MFC, a municipal financial corporation, that can serve as the city's green bank and a public bank. Those departments obviously include the Board of Supervisors, the Treasurer, and the City Attorney. I hope to provide you with more updates on their work at our next meeting. The Municipal Housing Study update, so just as a reminder, this is a study to determine the recommended structure of a municipal housing agency pilot to create and manage cross-subsidy mixed-income city-owned housing. The Commission has already authorized LAFCO staff to issue a request for a proposal for a consultant to conduct the study. We're nearing completion on the updated RFP and look to release it this fall in the next couple of months. Just as a reminder for the rest of the LAFCO calendar, there is one more meeting this year. It's November 21st. And I just want to note that at this meeting, we'll approve the 2026 LAFCO regular meeting schedule, which most likely will be a meeting on odd-numbered months in 2026. And one final update for you. LAFCO, as a hybrid state county agency, has its own legal counsel, obviously, Ender. And LAFCO is seeking to renew that contract with Ender's law firm, which is called RWG Law, no relation to the Reinvestment Working Group. That concludes my updates for you guys. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Commissioner Chan.
Thank you, Chair. As for the Green Public Bank, updates in general, you noted that you're working with the Board of Supervisors, and my assumption is, through the chair, it will be with Supervisor, with Chair Fielder as a supervisor. Will there be any type of report, a formal report, which Chair Fielder and this body can actually submit to the Board of Supervisors to? A resolution sort of about the update where things are at, and as well as being able to tell, sort of lay out its steps that is necessary that the Board Supervisor must take to form Green Bank.
It would be my pleasure to prepare that memo for you.
Yeah, I think, Chair Fielder, I just want to let you know that I'm in full support should you take the next step, as of course as a member of the supervisor, to move a resolution along with the report, with the recommendation and articulating the next steps to form Green Bank, so that we can start to kind of get the ball rolling. It's been a long time coming. I think that was like former Supervisor John Avalos and then Supervisor Malia Cohen and Supervisor Fielder, Fewer, as well as now Supervisor Fielder taking up the mantle. I think I think we're ready to take that to the next level. So I'm eager to learn more about it, and just wanted to publicly say that I'm in full support of it and happy to also support Chair Fielder and Supervisor Fielder to move this. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioner. On that note, Mr. Samurai, can you please share from the Reinvestment Working Group, in the report, it was outlined the steps that were needed. Can you share with us today kind of the broad strokes of what is needed?
Absolutely. In order to create the MFC, we need pre-opening funding to do two main things. One, hire a professional banker to help us finalize those plans and actually present the board with a completed entity, the Green Bank. This individual will most likely work with the treasurer's office to finalize those plans. So just as a reminder, the reinvestment working group's plans for MFC and public bank were advisory to the board. There needs to be some tweaking given that there's been 2 years since those plans were passed. And besides that, those plans were more general and less specific, basically proving that the concept could work with a very limited amount of funding. And now we just need to finalize a few of those details, put together articles of incorporation, other incorporating documents, have the board approve it so that the treasurer or this professional banker who we're kind of calling the Green Bank coordinator, since they're not going to actually be CEO of the Green Bank, because that decision cannot be made until the entity exists. That funding is anywhere between $1.3 million to $2.6 million. That's pre-opening. Once we have this funding, once we hire this individual and they're able to work with the treasurer and the city attorney to finalize those documents, the board votes to approve it. It becomes the San Francisco Green Bank. It's registered with the state. Then we would need funding for it to actually do its work. In year one, that's $26 million. The output from that would be $19 to $20 million in loans in the first year. By year three, that's $90 million in funding it would need, funding and capitalization. And the output from that would be $60 million in loans to three priority areas that were identified by the reinvestment working group, including, obviously, green initiatives and electrification projects throughout the city, affordable housing, and small business. The MFC in its first 3 years would do most of this work and this lending by partnering with local community financial institutions, mostly CDFIs and credit unions who already have relationships on the ground with both customers and people who bank with them. That will let us rely on their connections and their ability to ascertain creditworthiness so that a smaller staff in the MFC could do more with this limited amount of funding they have. At the end of year three, the MFC, according to the Reinvestment Working Group's plans, is projected to make a profit, which is a very, I won't say aggressive, it's just a very positive outlook on what can be done with such a limited amount of funding, focused solely on San Francisco and these priority areas.
Commissioner Chan.
Thank you, Chair Fielder. I think what I would like to see additional conversation to take place is in this report, it potentially that I think that through the chair, is for you to reach out to the controller's office under this, which is the Division of Office of Public Finance, to actually understand sort of different type of tools, that financing tools that the city may be able to figure out. It's just a different path for to get us the $26 million and the $96 million and then subsequently the $60 million to sort of just formulate the Green Bank. And I'm kind of interested to see how that really comes to the reality with affordable housing. Should the city, along with regional partners, to seek a regional housing, affordable housing bond, will then there could be a space within it that the city can actually have its own bank, like form a green bank, then that can be a party like financing for these types of projects in incorporation of the regional housing bond. And I'm also interested to understand, you know, the state right now is formulating potentially through legislation, through Treasurer Fiona Ma, I believe, to have an infrastructure board. So I'm kind of interested to see how Green Bank can play a role in financing and creating financing products and tools to support those efforts. So it's kind of complicated. I would love to learn more through you, through your work, and if you could report back to and help us understand better.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Commissioner. Can we have that report for our next meeting?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you. All right. Any other questions for Mr. Samurai? All right. Seeing more no more names on the roster, Madam Clerk, let's open this up for public comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the public who would like to speak that are on our remote call-in line should press *3 to be recognized. Those in attendance should line up to their right. And seeing no members of the public in chambers, let's move to our call-in line. There are no callers in the queue.
Thank you. Seeing no more commenters, public comment is now closed. Madam Clerk, please call item 6.
Item 6 is the LAFCO Executive Officer Recruitment.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I'm very grateful for this discussion and the possibility of appointing for the executive officer position today. I have in the memo that I outlined, the clerk of the board received a record-breaking 19 applications for the executive officer position. It's great for a small commission such as LAFCO. A panel interviewed the two final selection candidates who accepted the invitation to interview and whose qualifications and experience closely matched the need of the executive officer position. And I'm very pleased to share that here with us today is the top scoring candidate, Mr. Khalid Samurai. And I'll hand the floor over to Mr. Samurai to speak on the appointment and also call in any colleagues for any further comments and questions. So, Mr. Samurai, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Commissioners. I'd like to thank the hiring committee for interviewing me and selecting me. It's an honor just to be selected. It has been an absolute pleasure working with everyone for the past 3 years, and I hope to continue working with the outstanding community of support, both inside City Hall and outside City Hall, that's made all my work possible.
Thank you. Commissioner Chan.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just really grateful for your work and leadership, Chair Fielder, and that also the hiring panel to come to the conclusion that I truly believe is the most qualified candidate, and also grateful that Mr. Samurai, that you are now accepting this position as permanent. And again, you know, not only for the last few years for your work, but I really look forward to your leadership in the coming years of the work that you will be doing with LAFCO. While this is a small, but I think a mighty and critical body, that can actually do a lot for the city and county of San Francisco. It's quiet for the most part, but I think, again, the reports and the productions and also the information that it ends up producing as a body through your predecessors and now hopefully you, that will continue to really benefit San Francisco in a very long-term and sustainable way that most people can't even envision at this moment. Like, things like Green Bank and back then like Clean Power SF and things that people didn't really think about, but they know that it has to be done. I'm so grateful for you to be on continue to doing this work. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Chan. Commissioner Sevier.
Yeah, thanks so much. Khalid, it was just such a wonderful opportunity to join the interview panel and just to hear about the accomplishments that you've kind of made within your role, first as analyst and then as acting executive officer. And I want to just echo what Commissioner Chan said, which is that I think the role that you have held down and will continue to kind of build with us here in LAFCO is such an important one, because of the opportunity that we have to kind of do nimble, long-term, and creative thinking about the infrastructure needs that the city has from a finance point of view. When I think about the energy transition that we're in, when I think about the economic volatility that all San Franciscans are experiencing today, I'm really looking forward to just talking with you more and thinking about how LAFCO can direct some of its research towards these really important priorities as one of the largest cities and the fourth largest economy in the world. And so it was really delightful too to hear more about the skills that you bring to this role in thinking about lots of different data sources that we can look at together and think about the information actually that we have at our fingertips as the city of San Francisco to think about what building a public sector that can really provide for all San Franciscans looks like. So I just want to say thanks for continuing to be interested in building our work with us too.
Thank you, Commissioner. And I just want to echo all that was said. I also want to thank the clerk's office and Commissioner Chan's office for helping to steer this hiring process. I have gotten to know you through the reinvestment working group process, and I am very excited for what's to come as far as the upcoming study on the social housing program, and I'm very confident LAFCO is going to be in safe hands with your leadership. So with that, I would like to make a motion to approve.
Madam Chair, as a matter of housekeeping, if we can grant the floor to council to read the required matters into the record.
Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the commission. As you may know, the California Brown Act requires that we make an oral announcement with respect to any executive's salary and benefits before you go ahead and appoint him. So it is my pleasure today to make that announcement. Mr. Samurai will be a City and County of San Francisco employee with the full range of benefits provided under Local 1021 MOU, and his salary shall be $157,352 annually. With that, please go ahead and make your motion. Thank you
so much. And I would like to make a motion to approve Khalid Samurai as the executive officer of the Local Agency Formation Commission. Do I have a second? Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
On the motion, as stated by Chair Fielder, Commissioner Sevier?
Aye.
Sevier, aye. Commissioner Fielder?
Aye.
Fielder, aye. Commissioner Chan?
Aye.
Chan, aye. You have three ayes.
Thank you. And the motion passes.
Congratulations.
All right. Madam Clerk, please call item number 7.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Item number 7 is public comment. Members of the public who would like to speak, you can press star 3. That for those joining us online, there are no members in the chamber, and there are no members online.
Seeing no commenters, public comment is now closed. Madam Clerk, please call item 8.
Item number 8 is future agenda items.
Colleagues, any future agenda items to note? Seeing no one on the roster, let's go to public comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are no members in the chamber, so we will go to our remote call-in line. We have 0 callers in the queue.
Seeing no one in public comment is now closed. Madam Clerk, please call item 9.
Item 9 is adjournment.
Thank you. We are adjourned.